matter, and it has substance. It has density, it has many different qualities to it. And so usually we imagine matter as, or rupa and form as, you know, these shapes and colors and sounds and smells, but it's also this, you know, it's has significant density to it. So the human body with intent and direction, moving product, moving matter, repeating transactions, like our breathing is a repeated transaction with our atmosphere. A corporate entity, a group of beings with intent and direction, moving product or matter, repeating transactions. So corporations are larger bodies that are, we usually think of differently than as individuals. But for example, when I have thirsting desire for water, I usually feel it in my mouth. It's really dry and in my throat. But it probably isn't just there. It's probably in the cells the furthest away from my mouth, and they are screaming for hydration. They need some fluid to transact the membrane exchange of oxygen and nutrients in and the waste products out. And so when we are thirsting, is it just because we notice our mouth is dry and how we feel, or is it actually the corporal body of our cells that is saying, hey, pay attention, each cell says, I need water. How does it scream? How does it yell? What kind of pain and agony does each cell have? Our lives manifest in many ways. And just as a stalk of rice is manifesting its being from the tips of its root hairs to the tops of its seeds and beyond, there's that manifestation requires significant interaction, and often that interaction includes many other aspects of even intention, of gratitude, of devotion. And we may not think of plants as having devotion, but often, you know, a flower will, as the sun goes down, it will close facing the west. And by morning, it is turned to the east and is welcoming the sun. So does a flower have devotion? Maybe. Zen devotion is has been defined as the Japanese term of kiei, where ki means to return, and A means something you can depend on. Return to something you can depend on is Zen devotion. Gratefully sharing the benefits that we have with all Buddhas and ancestors and all beings. A devotion that also includes deep gratitude for the earth, the water, the air, fire, the sun. And so with our deep devotion, we and interaction with our world, how do we embark on the great wisdom? How do we awaken to the great wisdom? And I want to read something from Les Hixon's translation of the Prajnaparamita of the 8,000 lines in the chapter titled Unthinkable and Unfindable. He writes from the Prajnaparamita, the reality which the terms Bodhisattva and Prajnaparamita refer to are ungraspable and inconceivable, possessing no physical or metaphysical existence. The reality, so I'll repeat this first sentence, the reality which the terms Bodhisattva and Prajnaparamita refer to are ungraspable and inconceivable, possessing no physical or metaphysical self-existence. It doesn't deny existence, it just says it has no self-existence. No self-existence means no continuity of self through time. Everything is changing on the physical and metaphysical realms. The spiritual aspirant who does not become even subtly anxious when this unthinkable depth of perfect wisdom is invoked, should be recognized as already a bodhisattva immersed in Prajnaparamita, authentically established in truth by being free from any personal claim of true truth. Whoever remains crystallized as personality cannot melt and flow as the perfect wisdom. So the practice we're in is the decrystallization of ourselves so we can melt and flow with the perfect wisdom. So, how do we manifest this in the midst of desire or thirsting desire? We talk about the four bodhisattva vows. The second one is desires are inexhaustible. I vow to put an end to them. Katagiri Roshi, in his book, Returning to Silence, talks about thirsting desire, and he says, this desire is unending, and it cannot be extinguished. Thirsting desire is a holy truth. We must face it directly and meet it to our core, realize it through our skin, muscle, bone, and marrow. So to face our thirsting desire, to meet it fully, requires us to have a space where we can meet it, to engage it, to see what it's about, to reflect on it, on our this I was thinking about, you know, they talk about introspection is turning the light inward. It's like turning, when you see the sunlight on a pond or off these mats, you might be able to see a reflection off of even that. And that reflection it's bouncing, it's engaging the material. And so when we self-reflect, we're looking at what's arising on our mind, on the pond of our mind. There are many fundamental desires. Generally, they're broken down into attachment. You know, the three poisons are attachment, aversion, and delusion, or greed, hatred, and delusion. So to use our desire, our thirsting desire, is there a way that we can use that for the benefit of all beings? And fundamentally, there are three kinds of desire. There's the desire for personal satisfaction, of pleasing ourselves continuously. The second one is the desire to continue our existence. And the third is to have personal prosperity and power. And then feelings that arise around these desires can be feelings of pleasure, of pain, of discomfort, of joy, and of equanimity. So when we explore our desires,